Chapter 31. I came suddenly and violently awake, my heart thudding and pounding in time with the insistent summons of the telephone. These bedside phones were undoubtedly an improvement on the old system, when you had to gallop downstairs and stand shivering with your bare toes on the tiles of the passage. But this explosion a few inches from your ear in the small hours of the morning, when the body was weak and the resistance low, was shattering. I felt sure it couldn't be good for me. The voice at the other end was offensively cheerful.
I have a mare on foaling. She doesn't seem to be getting on with job. Reckon foal must be laid wrong. Can you come and give me an hand?
My stomach contracted to a tight ball. This was just a little bit too much. Once out of bed in the middle of the night was bad enough, but twice was unfair. In fact, it was sheer cruelty. I had had a hard day, and had been glad to crawl between the sheets at midnight. I had been hauled out at 1 o'clock to a damned awkward carving, and hadn't got back till nearly three. What was the time now? 3:15, good God! I'd only had a few minutes sleep, and a foaling. Twice as difficult as a carving as a rule. What a life. What a bloody awful life. I muttered into the receiver. Right, Mr. Dixon, I'll come straight away. And shuffled across the room, yawning and stretching, feeling the ache in my shoulders and arms. I looked down at the pile of clothing on the chair. I'd taken them off, put them on again, taken them off already tonight, and something in me rebelled at the thought of putting them on again. With a weary grunt, I took my Macintosh from the back of the door and donned it over my pyjamas, went downstairs to where my Wellington stood outside the dispensary door, and stuck my feet into them. It was a warm night. What was the point of getting dressed up? I'd only have to strip off again at the farm. I opened the back door and trailed slowly down the long garden, my tired mind only faintly aware of the fragrance that came from the darkness. I reached the yard at the bottom, opened the double doors into the lane, and got the car out of the garage. In the silent town, the buildings glowed whitely as the headlights swept across the shuttered shop fronts, the tight-drawn curtains. Everybody was asleep. Everybody, except me, James Herriot, creeping, sore and exhausted, towards another spell of hard labour. Why the hell had I ever decided to become a country vet? I must have been crazy to pick a job where you worked 7 days a week and through the night as well. Sometimes I felt as though the practice was a malignant, living entity, testing me, trying me out, putting the pressure on more and more to see just at what point I would drop down dead. It was a completely unconscious reaction which hoisted me from my bath of self-pity and left me dripping on the brink, regarding the immediate future with a return of some of my natural optimism. For one thing, Dixon's place was down at the foot of the dale, just off the main road, and they had that unusual luxury, electric light in the buildings. And I couldn't be all that tired, not at the age of 24 with all my faculties unimpaired. I'd take a bit of killing yet. I smiled to myself and relapsed into the state of half-suspended animation which was normal to me at these times. A sleepy blanketing of all the senses except those required for the job in hand. Many times over the past months I've got out of bed, driven far into the country, done my job efficiently, and returned to bed without ever having been fully awake.